We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
This morning, I'm going to share with you a message on healing. How many of you have heard me preach on or minister on healing in the past? Can I see your hands? Most of everybody, right? So it kind of makes you have to ask the question, why are we preaching on healing again? And so this whole month, actually, I'm going to be sharing along healing, at least most of the month, if not all of the month. And so you have to wonder, why healing again? And so before I even get into what I want to talk about in regard to healing, I want to talk about why healing. But also I noticed that I'm preaching in a forest today, and it's been one of my goals. You know, like in the olden days, they would have like revival out in the woods, and people are just getting saved and set free and healed in the woods, and it's always just been like, man, that'd be so awesome. Well, there you go, baby. And here it is. It's smaller than I envisioned it. But I'm sure with Christmas around the corner, our forest is going to grow. All right, so why am I going to preach about healing? Why am I going to talk about healing? Well, first of all, you have to realize that new people haven't heard of it. I mean, most of the people that are here have probably heard me share at some point about healing, either a whole message or a whole month of messages or several months of messages on healing. But you may have heard about healing and heard preaching on healing several times, but there might also be someone here today who's never heard about healing and that God can heal people. And healing is one of God's most powerful ways of getting people's attention. And so I think it's extremely important. Also, you might be completely healthy and feel like, well, this isn't really necessary for me to hear again. But there might be somebody here who's not completely healthy, and it might be completely necessary for them to hear it again. So stop being selfish. Secondly, Jesus was always teaching about healing. He was always preaching the gospel of the kingdom, teaching in the synagogues, and then he would go around and he would heal everybody. Everywhere Jesus went, he was healing people. He was ministering to the sick. He was taking care of them, and there's nobody that could approach Jesus that he wasn't able to heal unless it was because of doubt. Doubt is the only thing that can stop God from actually doing what he wants to do in your life. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I preach on healing and teach on healing often because that's what builds your faith, hearing from the word of God. And I think I've realized that no matter what you have in life, if you're not healthy, it's hard to be happy, right? You might have all the money, but if you're not healthy, it's hard to really appreciate the money that you have. You might have a great family and people surrounding you, but if you're dying at 30 years old, it's probably hard to even appreciate that fully. So no matter what you have, if you don't have health physically, it's hard to actually enjoy the life that we have an awesome testimony it creates to be able to go around and when someone asks you, why are you a Christian? What makes you different than the rest of us? Well, one of the greatest things about being a Christian when you understand healing is that you can say, I've been healthy for the last number of years. When sickness tries to come on me, I rebuke it in Jesus' name and it goes from me, and I don't have to go to the doctor. If I get bad news, I just go to the Word, and God always comes through and gives me strength and heals me, and my faith has made me well. What an awesome testimony to be able to tell people. Amen? So I love preaching about healing. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Let's go there. This is something very important to understand from the scripture, because Jesus was always teaching about healing, preaching healing, and healing people. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all, say all, not some, all, who went about healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Who were these people oppressed by that he was healing? The devil. Now, you can't heal a healthy person, right? It wouldn't really be necessary. He was healing sick people. And it says that these people were oppressed by the devil. So therefore, you can see that Jesus went about healing people that were being oppressed by the devil in their physical body. He was healing their sicknesses, taking their diseases, taking the things that they were suffering from. He was healing them. So healing is from Jesus. It's from God. And though that might be very basic for some of you, for others, you maybe didn't know that. Maybe you thought that God sometimes will actually put sickness on people because you've even heard that in a previous church that you've attended, and you've heard that God sometimes uses sicknesses to teach us lessons. Well, then why would Jesus go around all over wherever he went healing people? He would be working against his lessons that he was trying to teach people. And you know, sometimes in church we get so spiritual that we get stupid and we don't realize things like that. Sometimes it's good to come out of your spiritual fog and just get a good slap in the face from the Word of God and realize, yeah, that was kind of dumb that I thought that. And it's okay. Every now and then you have to realize some of the things that you used to think were kind of dumb. And maybe you just thought them because someone told that to you and you've heard that your whole life, and therefore you simply believed it. I don't like to just believe things because I've been told something. I like to know from the Word of God what the Bible says about it. And the Bible says that Jesus went around healing all who were oppressed. He didn't go around oppressing all who were healthy. But that's the way some people teach it. God's going to send you some oppression so that you can learn a lesson in humility. God's going to put some sickness on you so that you can be grateful, more grateful when you're healthy. I mean, there's all kinds of ideas that people have, and they allow themselves to be convinced that God has to use something evil in order to teach us good. God's original intention was never to have evil in this world. In the Garden of Eden, there was no evil, not until man allowed it. And so God doesn't want sickness in your body, and he doesn't want to teach you sickness. He doesn't want to teach you from sickness. Sickness is from the devil. Say that after me. Sickness is from the devil. Say it again. Sickness is from the devil. Say it one more time. Sickness is from the devil.
Sickness is from the devil.
Say disease is from the devil.
Disease is from the devil.
Oppression is from the devil.
Oppression is from the devil.
So why would you tolerate something that's from the devil in your body? You just said it's from the devil. I mean, if you knew that the devil was hanging around in your house, would you let him?
No.
You'd do whatever you could to get him out. And so many of us as Christians, we've just learned to tolerate sickness. We've learned to tolerate disease. We've learned to live with it because for whatever reason, we've just accepted it. Maybe we feel like I don't have the faith, or I've had so many preachers preach for me and I've tried to do everything and no matter what I've done, it hasn't worked. Well, somewhere along the line, you've accepted a lie from the devil that you can't win. But that's not the truth according to the Word of God, because through Jesus Christ our Lord, he always leads us into victory. We are more than conquerors. We're overcomers. We win every single time as long as we can stay in faith. Amen? If the devil ever came to my house, I understand that he's a spiritual being and it wouldn't do much good, but I would pull out every single weapon that I had and just unload on him, just because I feel like that'd be cool to say, like, you know, I shot at the devil or whatever. But for the point of me saying that is that I would not allow the devil to stick around. After I realized that my mortal weapons didn't work against the devil, I would go to praying, of course. I'd have to, like, rebuke him in Jesus' name, and then he would go. But at least I'd say I tried everything. But, I mean, you wouldn't tolerate the devil being in your house. So don't tolerate sickness coming into your house. Do you know that in Psalm 91, it says that no sickness, no plague shall enter your dwelling? Which that means if I got people in my dwelling, sickness shouldn't be there. It means I have authority over it, and I can tell it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get out. But you're not going to do that if you think that that sickness is from the Lord to teach you something. You're just going to be kind of like, well, you know, I'll just learn something from this. You don't need to learn from that. You can learn from the Word of God. You don't need to learn from sickness. You don't need to learn anything from the devil. We're supposed to learn from the Holy Spirit, not from the devil. And sickness is from where? The devil. Amen. So just this concept alone will set some people free. If you'll draw the line in the sand and say, sickness, devil, health, God, every time sickness tries to come and you understand that, you won't just be like, oh yeah, maybe it'll go away tomorrow. You'll, just as if it was an evil spirit come into your house that you, if it was drug addiction, if it was alcoholism, if it was adultery, you'd say, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. What about when sickness comes? Are you as quick to go to war against it? We should be. Jesus went about doing good and he destroyed the works of the devil. He healed all who were oppressed. Amen? Now, Hebrews 13:8, I'll just quote it for you. I'll read it to you. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we just read Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And then Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Which means that if Jesus Christ was healing people while he was here on earth in his physical body, he's still healing people today through his body, the church. Amen? And through the power of the Holy Spirit. So why are we teaching on healing again? Jesus seemed to like teaching on healing, so I think that's right there in and of itself a good enough reason to teach on healing again. But I have more reasons. Also, if you look at history and you study out revivals, and you know, I mean, if you've been a Christian a while, or perhaps a Pentecostal Christian specifically, and you've read about great healing revivals that have taken place over the last 100 years, you read about all the different ones that just shook different regions and had major healings take place, often they also had healing schools. They would require people that were coming to their meetings to, before that they would even lay hands on them, that they would actually require them to go to a week or 2 weeks of just teaching, no laying on of hands, no ministering to people, simply just teaching the Word of God, teaching Bible truths to people, so that finally when they did come to receive healing, when they're getting hands laid on them, when they're being prayed for, they would have their faith built up so strong that they would be ready. And so this is why I'm going to teach on healing today. I already said faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now most people don't just get it because they heard something once. They might not even get it if they heard it twice. And believe it or not, many people won't even get it because they heard it three times. Sometimes you have to teach something over and over and over and over and over again before all of a sudden something clicks. Not for everyone. There's no telling. Sometimes you could hear a message 10 times and on the 11th time you get it. Maybe someone's here and they just get it the first time. But either way, people are at different levels. So we have to understand that when we're teaching healing, we're teaching to a variety of different people and in a variety of different walks in their relationship with God. And so we have to teach this. Even today, I'm going to get into some very basic stuff about healing. So maybe you're here and you're ultra spiritual and you don't need to hear this again. Well, maybe this is just the Lord's way of teaching you a lesson, making you hear it again. Now, often when we're preaching and teaching something, one of the reasons that people don't often receive is that we have to combat years and years of religious training and indoctrination. Most of you probably didn't grow up in a church like this where we simply flat out believe the Bible is true, and that when the Bible says that Jesus came... Oh, it's like, I was like, I didn't think I said anything funny. Everyone's like laughing. But I guess it is kind of funny that churches don't just simply believe the Bible, that when it says that Jesus healed all who were oppressed of the devil, that it meant what it was said. And so they've taught people in churches around the country and around the world different theologies about healing that don't line up with the Word of God. And so very often when we're, if you've ever gone to pray for someone and they've been through a lot of churches, they don't typically receive right away, because you go to lay hands on them and you think, well, you know, I know the Word of God is true, that I preach this and God confirms His Word. And so when I lay hands on the sick, they should recover, because that's what the Bible says. And if it was just as simple as that, it would work. But what has happened is people have been wrongly taught, wrongly indoctrinated, so that you're standing there full of faith to pray for someone, and they're standing there thinking in their mind with their hands lifted up, looking very holy, thinking like, let's see if this stuff actually works. You know, or any number of thoughts that are actually not faith. But when two people, the Bible says that when two people are touching anything on earth, that when they believe together and they come into agreement, that whatever they ask, it will be done. So today, my purpose is to get everybody into agreement that healing is good, healing is from God, the sickness and oppression is from the devil, and I feel like if we can just accomplish that, that God intended healing for us right from the beginning, I think we'll have accomplished something this morning. I'm not going to lay hands on anybody to get healed this morning. But you can receive a miracle right in your seat just from the word that's being shared from the Scripture. You know, I think often that sometimes we actually ruin people's faith by laying on of hands too quickly. You know, there's actually scriptures that warn against laying on of hands hastily. You can look it up. And why that I think sometimes is the case is that we go to lay hands on somebody just because everybody else is laying hands on everybody, and then you lay hands on someone, and because they're actually not in faith, they have no clue to actually how to believe God for something. They might be full of doubt, and yet we come and lay hands on them, and then after, because they were in doubt and nothing happened, they think to themselves, see, I knew that stuff wouldn't work. Rather than if we would have taken our time and actually just taught that person for a few weeks, here's what the Bible says. I'm not just saying this because, like, I'm a crazy, charismatic Pentecostal Christian and I just like to, you know, have an uproar in our church and jump over the pews and have people fall on the ground. But that it's not about that, but that it's about actually what Jesus said and what Jesus did. And this is God revealing His goodness to us. If we would then get people into faith, I think we would have so much better results. So I'm just actually going to teach people. Today, I'm going to teach you what the Word of God says about healing and faith in healing, so that your faith will be built. And maybe by the second, it might not even be next week, maybe the third week, maybe the fourth week, I'll start praying for people to be healed. So if you need healing in your body, I want you to get ready to receive your miracle. But it starts by building up your faith, knowing that when hands are laid on you, you don't have to wait till hands are laid on you. Don't get me wrong. One word from God can completely change your life. Just what I've already said this morning is enough for some people here to receive their miracle and set them free for the rest of their life. Amen? Amen? But sometimes we get hasty and we just want to lay hands on everything because that's the Pentecostal thing to do. And then maybe that hinders people's faith. And so this isn't going to be one of those services this morning. I'm just going to teach the Word of God. And I believe that some of you will receive the word today, that your faith will be built, that you'll allow religious teachings, religious mindsets to be destroyed. If you have any, when I'm sharing the word with you, if you have thoughts that are like, I don't know, that doesn't sound right to me, look it up. Read the word with me. Please, does everyone have a Bible with them? If you don't, I'm sure you have a phone. There's a Bible on there. You can read the Bible on there. Don't just take my word for it. I really want you to dig into this with me so that you'll actually believe this for yourself, not just because you heard somebody else say something about it. You know, I never really grasped a lot of concepts because I always just took somebody else's word for it. But then when you actually have to start preaching, you have to know it for yourself. You can't just say, well, so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that. It doesn't do any good. You have to know for yourself, what does the word say? And so as we're going through this, go with me to the scriptures. Know for yourself, this is what the word says. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ, the yesterday, today, and forever, is the same. Know for yourself, Acts 10:38, that how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Know it for yourself. Amen? So when we go to the scriptures, go there with me and dig in for yourself. Because this, the word is what gives you faith. And when the storms of life and when sickness tries to come against you, I might not be there with you, but the Holy Spirit is. And God is. And the key to getting God to do what you want him to do for you is by coming to him on a good standing and basis of his word. Of approaching him like a lawyer approaches the judge. They know the laws and they're presenting their case. And when you come to God and he has principles and he has laws and he has ways, and when you come to him and you know the word and you can say, God, no, I'm not going to tolerate the sickness in my body. I'm not going to tolerate the sickness on my child or on my wife because your word says this and your word says that. And I'm a child of God and I'm righteous before you. And I'm not tolerating something that you already defeated. Then it has to go. But if you don't know all that, you're just going to end up having to go to, you know, another service to hopefully get hands laid on you, which sometimes is okay. I understand we start out there. I started out there, but I'm telling you, it's so much better when you can get it for yourself. Amen? You know, when I went to Bible college, I didn't know a clue about cooking. Where's Brian? Brian and I, we went down there together, and when we first got to Florida, we were hungry, and I was like 18, he was probably like 19 or 20, I don't know, but we were hungry, and we didn't have a lot of food, and we didn't have a lot of money, so we didn't always want to go out to eat, and so we were like, well, we got to make something, and we had rice, and we had beans, and, you know, neither of us are, like, Puerto Rican or anything, if you can't tell, you know, so I didn't know a whole lot about rice and beans, but we eventually taught ourselves how to make some rice and some beans, and then he taught me about peanut butter and pickle sandwiches, which sound really weird, but somehow are good. If you don't believe me, just try it. But then over the years, I learned that, like, I like good food and I want good food, but I don't know how to make good food. It wasn't fun living on rice and beans and peanut butter and pickles all the time. And so eventually, like, I ended up working with somebody who was a trained professional chef, and he started teaching me how to cook some things. And I realized I like eating good food, and it's nice that now, after having learned how to make good food, I can get good food for myself if I want to, that I don't have to depend on somebody else. Amen. If I want a gourmet meal, testify. It's nice that I can, you know, make a nice meal for myself. It's good that I also know how to go out to a restaurant and get it if I need to, but sometimes you don't feel like having to go out to a restaurant, and it's nice that I can just get it for myself. Well, the word's no different. It's good to know where you can go and get the word. It's good to know where you can go to someone that has the anointing and the gifts that they've activated in their life. It's good to know where to go, but it's much better to know how to get it to yourself. Yeah. Amen? It's nice when you can just walk into your pantry and look into a fridge of nothing that should be cooked together and be able to create something delicious out of it. It's nice. That you don't have to, like, depend on somebody else to make you that meal. You know, my wife, she's out of luck when I'm not around. She calls me and says, I'm hungry. Yeah. And I'm like, well, why don't you make something? And she says, there's nothing to make. And I come home and I look in the fridge and I'm like, you said there's nothing to make, but there's like all this stuff in here. But you actually have to cook it. She doesn't like that part. So it's good when you know how to get it for yourself, amen? I want to teach you how to get it for yourself. Why else am I teaching this? Because people get sick, even good church folk. You can come here Sunday after Sunday and hear what I'm preaching, and you could still get sick. Why? Because the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he devour, who he can devour. Because the devil, the thief, cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's always after people. He's after us. He's trying, however he can get at you, he's going to try to come at you. If he can come at you in your health, trust me, he's going to come at you in your health. And you got to have to know how to stand in the evil day, when the trial is there, when the test is there. You got to know how to stand. You got to know how to stand in faith and how to combat against the attack of the enemy. The devil's always coming after people. Now, I would ask people to raise their hand and see how many people need a miracle or need a healing in their physical body today, but I don't really need to know. I know that there's people here that need physical healings in their body, that needs a miracle, that have some sort of sickness or disease or long-term thing that they're combating. And even if I ask people to raise their hands and nobody raised their hands, I would still know that there's people here that need a sickness healed or a disease healed because they just don't want to admit it. You know, I've been one of those people because, you know, a while ago I dealt with back pain, and after a while I had so many people pray for me for back pain that even if someone asks, is there anybody here with back pain? Is there anybody here that needs a healing? I wouldn't put my hand up because I'm like, nope, I've done that enough, and none of that worked. And it wasn't their fault. Whoever prayed for me, it wasn't their fault. It was my fault because I wasn't in faith when I went and got prayed for. I was like one of those people thinking to myself, well, let's just see if this works. Let's see if this guy's got it. It was all about them and their anointing and their gifting and their ability. I wasn't taught on how to get it for myself. And so I know that even if seemingly everybody looks healthy, I understand that in the room there is still people that probably have some sort of sickness or disease that maybe they don't want to talk about, or maybe in the future something's going to try and come against you. And so even if you're healthy right now, you need to know how to stand against it. You know, there's probably people here that have heard me preach on healing so much, and I've even prayed for you to get healed, and maybe nothing happened, and so you wouldn't raise your hand if I asked you if you need a healing. But then we might have a guest minister come in, and all of a sudden they ask you if they preach a message on healing, and then they ask if you need a healing, and all of a sudden all these hands go up, and I look around the room and I'm like, kind of surprised. Well, how did that happen? Everyone looked so healthy when I was preaching this. Well, why does that happen? Because it's something new. You hear it from a new person, and all of a sudden, you know, they might have said the exact same truths and the exact same principles that I said. They said it in a little bit of a different way, from a different voice, from someone wearing a dress instead of pants, or whatever the case may be. They hear it from something else, and because it's a different voice and it's a new thing, all of a sudden, they're like really listening. Well, I promise you, even if you've heard me share on healing for the last 4 years over and over and over again, if you would just listen like it's your first time, listen like you've never heard anybody preach about or teach about healing, if you would just listen and try to listen for the truths and pull out from the Word of God what I'm sharing with you today, you'll get it. But sometimes we think that, you know, somebody else is more gifted, someone else has a different anointing on their life, and that really might be the case. That's why we do bring different people in here, and there's the body of Christ, and people, there's different talents, different giftings, different anointings within the body, and so we do bring different people in because of that. We work with the whole body of Christ. We should be working together. Amen? However, sometimes it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that that minister has a different gifting or a different anointing. It's just the fact that you're just hearing it from a different voice or from someone new. You know, if you're constantly hearing from the same person, the same kinds of things, eventually it's kind of less interesting and you start to tune things out a little bit. So I challenge those of you that have heard me share on healing time and time again, listen up again today very carefully. This whole month I want you to listen, because I believe you'll get something that you've never gotten before if you'll listen and if you'll be hungry for it and if you'll be ready to receive. Amen? So the best way to get healed isn't to depend on somebody else, not to depend on me or some other minister that's coming in, but to be able to depend on your relationship with God, your understanding from the Word of God, and your own faith. Amen? So listen this morning with expectancy, listen with faith, and put a demand on the Word of God. That's my 25-minute introduction to why I'm going to preach on healing for the rest of this month. And now I want to get into some territory that I'm going to lay the foundation for the rest of this month. Earlier, I said that you can sometimes have one word that will radically change the rest of your life, that'll alter your direction, that'll alter your perception on a specific topic or on what you're going through in life. And this morning, I have one word that I want to share with you. It's actually the word salvation written in Greek, and that word is sozo. In English, the word is salvation. In Greek, the word is sozo, and I don't really know what they mean, but the O's have little lines across the top of them. I guess that has something to do with Greek. So if you're looking it up, you can blueletterbible.org, I think, is a great tool that I like to use, and you can actually go in there and type in sozo, or if you Google the word sozo and just search it out, you'll find all these different scriptures that use the word sozo, which is translated salvation into English. And it's a really good thing to do, and I'm going to share just a few of these scriptures with you this morning where we see that word sozo written, and we're going to see that sozo actually doesn't strictly mean salvation. But a definition, and this is, I believe, from Strong's Concordance, of the word sozo is to save, keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction, which sounds very much like what Jesus did for us when he purchased our salvation, amen? When he died on the cross for us and he pulled sin, the power of sin off of our life and allowed us to have a relationship restored to God and that we can spend an eternity in heaven, it sounds like he came to save us, to keep us safe and sound, to rescue us from danger or destruction, amen? Another part of that definition is to save a suffering one from perishing. For example, one suffering from disease, or to make well, to heal, restore to health. It goes on to say, to preserve one who is in danger of destruction, to save or rescue. And also it gives this definition to save in the technical biblical sense, which is to deliver from the penalties of messianic judgment, or to save from the evils which obstruct the reception of the messianic deliverance. So he was talking there, or that definition implies that this word sozo encompasses all about how Jesus came to save us, how he came to deliver us from evil, and to deliver us from messianic judgment, because there will be a day of judgment that comes where God will divide the sheep from the goats, the goats on the left and the sheep on the right, and those that are sheep, those that are following after God, will be divided, and they'll be able to enter the kingdom, but the goats won't be able to. And so there is that sense of the word sozo, which is translated to salvation, and salvation, which is translated most often from the word sozo into that word, is taught really to mean the salvation of one's soul or to be born again. And I want to read now just a few scriptures so you can see that I'm not making this up, and I'll show you where that word is. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. I know this is a little bit of some technical learning for you, but I think either way it's going to be really good and it's going to help lay the foundation for the lessons to come. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Where the word there, save, is the actual word, because these books were firstly written in Greek and then translated into other languages and eventually translated into English. But the word that is set there where it says, call his name Jesus, for he will save his people, that word save is actually the Greek word sozo. So we see that even from the beginning, it was prophesied about Jesus that he's going to bring salvation to the people. Go to John chapter 3. We should read some familiar verses here, verses 16 and 17. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, might be sozo. That's, if you were to translate it back to Greek, that's what the word would be there. So we see that two times here we're seeing that Jesus is clearly coming to bring salvation. And in the context that it's written about, it's the context of saving our souls. You agree? Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. I'm picking on a few of my favorite verses that have to do with salvation and being born again. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Again, the word save there is from the word sozo. The Son of Man came to seek and sozo that which was lost. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. I'm going to give you two more. Because I really want you to see that these verses, and I want you to see from these verses that you're reading, that these all have to do with a salvation and being born again. That these are verses that you've probably heard if you've been in church long enough over and over and over again when it comes to salvation. And this is Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and it's the Great Commission where we're told to go out and preach. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, or sozo, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be sozo, will be saved. So we see, again, in a very important scripture that has to do with our salvation, the word sozo is used. And let's go to one more, just so that this would be like the cherry on the cake, but we'll really see that salvation and sozo are one word. That this is something that we really need to understand. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. One of my favorites when it comes to salvation. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be sozo. So we get it, right? I mean, if you don't believe me in your own time, look up the word sozo and you'll find that I didn't make that up. But that in every single one of those scriptures where you see the word saved and you see that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, this is where we see that word sozo. So it's understandable why when people translate the word sozo, they immediately begin to think of the word salvation, right? Now, what does that have to do with healing? Well, the same word that has to do with the saving of your soul, per se, even though it's your spirit that's being born again. We say your soul got saved, but really it's your spirit becoming born again, and that's what is the eternal part of you that goes to heaven. But for the sake of it, we'll just say that your soul was saved. This same word is also used in conjunction with physical healing. And I want you to see this in three different examples that we'll read together. So go to the book of Mark, chapter 5. I think it's clear from reading the word that sozo definitely has to do with our salvation. But I think from understanding that this word, we'll see that how closely our salvation to our spiritual being is also tied to our physical being, that maybe this is something that we've missed right from the beginning. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25, now a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. You notice that she, even though she had money, she spent everything that she had and grew worse. I said earlier that even if you have money, it's hard to appreciate your money if you don't have health. She spent everything that she had, and maybe if you've ever been to a hospital visit and you were there for just like a quick checkup, or they took your blood and they sent you a medical bill of $5,000, you realize how fast your health bills can rack up. Or maybe you had something more serious where you got into an accident and if you didn't have insurance and you go to the hospital and there's a $200,000 medical bill, you realize how quickly your health is tied to your financial well-being. So Again, it's so important to be physically healthy, even if you, for the sake of being financially healthy. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Look at the beginning of that verse. When she heard about Jesus, you see, where does faith come from? Hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. Jesus was what? The word made flesh. So when she heard about Jesus, when she heard about the word made flesh, when she heard the word of God, you see, so this is what where some people miss it. They think, well, Jesus is up in heaven, and you know, I don't have Jesus in the room with me. I don't have his garment that I could run up and grab hold of, and that when I grab, if I could just touch his garment when I lay hold of that thing, I know I'm going to get my miracle. But we still have the word made flesh. We have God's word. Amen? So you just have to change your mindset to thinking Jesus isn't in the room, to thinking I just need to grab hold of this word. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I touch his clothes, I will be made well. Which there, made well, the Greek word is sozo. So the same word that we always use for salvation is actually the same word here that's talking about her physical healing. And notice that it's, she said, if I touch, if I only touch the hem of his garment, I will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the physical torment, from the disease, from the sickness that was in her body. And the one thing that I want you to get today is that the same faith that many of you, if not everyone here, has used to receive your spiritual salvation is the same faith that you're going to use to get your physical salvation, to get your physical healing, to have Jesus make you well. Because it's literally the same word that's used very often. For she said, it's important to say what you want. Confess, to speak out what you're believing God for. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. I shall be sozo. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. But she said that she would be healed before she ever felt anything. People are often waiting for the feeling to say that they'll be healthy. People want to feel healthy, and then they'll say, I'm healthy. But that's not the way that faith works. Faith is believing in the impossible. Otherwise, it wouldn't require any faith. To say that I feel healthy, and therefore I have faith that I'm healthy, that's not actually faith. That's just knowledge. But to believe in something before you actually are physically experiencing it, before you actually feel it, now that's faith. And so many people are saying, I believe that Jesus will heal me. That's not actually faith. Faith says, I've already been healed. So it's something that you have to switch with your mindset, and then with your believing in your heart, and then it'll come out of your mouth. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Immediately, the fountain of her blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed from her affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Now notice that she got her own miracle. Jesus didn't have a word of knowledge that day, you know, because think about it. She's surrounded by a crowd of people. Like if I'm in the center of all these pews and I'm surrounded by all of you and I got my eyes closed and I don't know who touches me, and then I turn around and I say, you, come over here. I have a word for you. God's going to heal you. That's not what happened. There was no gifts of the Spirit in operation in this instance. Some of us were just waiting. You know, we're waiting. We want to go to this conference to see this prophet or this apostle or this whoever person that is anointed. But ultimately, you just need to get to Jesus. And Jesus is on the inside of us. And Jesus is the Word made flesh. So you really, even though I'm not trying to discourage you from going to conference or anything, but you don't have to have your faith in conferences. You have to have your faith in Jesus. Because Jesus, he didn't even know who it was. He had no idea what had happened. All he knew is that someone placed a demand on the anointing. And so if you'll do the same thing, if you'll say, if I just get a hold of Jesus, if I just get a hold of this word, I will be healed. And then when you say that and you release that and you believe it, you can receive it. Jesus wasn't walking through the crowded streets, and I have a word of knowledge that there's a woman here who's been spending all of her money at doctors, but rather than getting better, you're growing worse, and you've spent all of your money. He didn't know any of that. She got her own miracle, and you can too, because the Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons, so if someone else did it, you can do it. But his disciples said, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?' And he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Your daughter, your faith has made you well. Daughter, your faith has made you sozo. Daughter, your faith has brought you physical salvation. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" The same word that we read in all those five different scriptures, John 3:17, Luke 19:10, all these scriptures that have to do that we know and we believe so much. I mean, even unbelievers know John 3:16. There's wrestlers that wear it. Everyone knows John 3:16. I mean, like, everyone knows it. But we know it in context of salvation, of physical spiritual salvation. But actually, the same word that was used there is the same word that is used for your physical healing. All right, let's go to another one. Next chapter over, Mark chapter 6, verse 53. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through the whole surrounding region, and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they lay sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well, were sozo. As many as who touched it. All they had to do is they just had to believe that, hey, I'm going to touch Jesus. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. And when I get a hold of Jesus, I will be made well. And as many as touched him were sozo. Let's do one more. Acts chapter 14 and verse 8. Acts chapter 14 and verse 8. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb. That's a long time to be a cripple. Who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently, seeing that he had faith to be healed, seeing that he had faith to be sozo, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leapt and walked. The same word that brings spiritual salvation is this word that's used here, sozo. He says he looked at this guy who'd been crippled from his mother's womb. He'd never gotten up. He'd never walked before. And he saw in his eyes, he saw that he had faith to be saved. But he got something more than just spiritual salvation that day. He got physical healing. He stood up and he walked. Amen? So the question is, if sozo includes physical healing, then why doesn't everybody get healed when they get saved? Isn't that what you have to start to wonder? If it's the same word and it's the same meaning, and most of us here have probably been saved before in our life, well then why is it that we've still, not all of us, received physical healing in our bodies? Well, the problem goes back to faith. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And what you preach and what you teach builds your faith for that certain thing. So if all I ever did was preach salvation in the sense of you can be saved so that you don't have to go to hell, but that you can go to heaven, it begins to build faith in you for your spiritual salvation. And then by the end of the message, if this is a salvation message so that nobody here has to go to hell, by the end of the message, people are begging, "I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Come on, preacher, let me pray so that I can get saved." And then they come down and they pray the sinner's prayer, and they become born again, and they're going to heaven because that's what was preached and that's what faith instilled into them. But how many times have, let me ask, out of everybody that's been saved here before, everyone that's a Christian, everyone that's been born again, When you went forward or wherever you were and you prayed that sinner's prayer, did that person, did that preacher, did they tell you, now when you pray this prayer, you're also going to receive your physical healing in your body? Probably not. In fact, I don't know if I've ever heard that. Most people don't teach it in this way, that spiritual salvation is actually tied to your physical salvation, your physical healing. But it's the same word. It's the same meaning. The same word that we saw in those scriptures talking about you receiving salvation for going to heaven is the same word that you can use to get your physical healing in your body. And so if we don't teach it, if we don't preach it, if we don't tell people that the same Jesus that died on the cross for your physical or for your spiritual salvation is the same Jesus that died for your physical healing, if we don't teach that, then people won't need to believe for it. And real quick, for the sake of time, let me just read Mark 11:22-24. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So me as the preacher, if I'm telling people about spiritual salvation and you can be saved, and then I get people to come forward and they come forward and they confess to the sin, they confess Jesus as Lord, and they believe that he was risen from the dead, and that's what they're believing and that's what they're confessing, that's what they're going to get. Right? And you know that you're saved when you get saved because your life is different. You realize something about me is very different. If you've literally been saved before, you know there's no going back to not being saved. And if someone walked up to you and said, "You're not saved," you would be like, "Well, you can believe whatever you want about me, but I know I'm saved." Right? Now, what about physical healing? Because how do you actually know that you're saved? Have you died and been to heaven yet? And Jesus said, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of the Lord." You've never been there. You haven't walked through the pearly gates and said, "Hey, Pete, what's up?" You've never been there. You don't know, really. I mean, it's not 100% sure until you get to walk through and enter the joy of your Lord. But you know it. You believe it 100%. You're not doubting that you're saved. I'm not either. I'm not saying that I'm not sure if I'm saved or not because I haven't walked into heaven. I know that I'm saved, even though I haven't actually been there. It's no different with your physical healing. Because if someone walks up to you and you're sick, what do you say? "I'm sick." What would be the better response then, Pastor? It would be, "By his stripes I have been healed. And I believe that by his stripes I am physically saved, that I don't have to tolerate this." And just like you wouldn't allow somebody to walk up to you and say, "You're not saved," and say, "You know what, I don't care. You can quote the word at me and tell me that you believe in Jesus, but I just know that you're not saved." You wouldn't let somebody like convince you that you're not saved. But we let people all the time convince us that we're sick. One doctor and his word, final authority, "You're sick." "Yep, I'm sick." That's how quickly we believe it and how quickly we let the devil whip us. We don't let faith rise up. We don't even think about it. We're just like, "Well, the doctor, he's the doctor and he knows. That's his job." Well, it's my job to convince you otherwise. It's my job to tell you that Jesus, the same time that he bought your spiritual salvation, that he actually bought your physical salvation. It's the same word. Sozo. You have to get it into your head. Sozo is salvation in the physical sense. It's in any sort of danger, in any sort of peril. Actually, when the storm was raging about and the disciples came to Jesus and they're like, "We're all going to die." And he says, and he rebukes the storm. Sozo was the word that they were saved. He saved them from the storm. Salvation is so much greater than just going to heaven. Salvation is where Jesus purchased your physical healing. That's why in 1 Peter 2:24 it says, "By his stripes ye were healed." Not "ye are healed" or not "ye are going to be healed." It says "you were healed." Past tense. You already were healed because Jesus already bought the salvation for your physical body. And faith is believing in something that you don't yet see. So even when you don't yet see in your physical eyes, you don't yet feel, we don't walk by faith or walk by sight, we walk by faith. When you don't see it, you confess it, you believe it. Like the woman with the issue of blood, she said, for she said, if I just touch onto Jesus, onto the hem of his garment, I know that I will be healed. Well, you have to say, you have to release your faith, you have to confess, you have to believe it wholeheartedly and regardless of whatever else you see in the natural. Because when I look around the natural, I see a church building, I see pews, carpet, a bunch of people sitting in them. I know that I'm not in heaven, but I know that I'm also saved. I don't question it. I know that I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You couldn't convince me otherwise. And we have to become that resolute and that sure about our physical healing. Amen? We have to know this is what Jesus did for me. Jesus bought it. He paid for it. It's mine. I'm taking hold of it. And no matter who tries to talk me out of it, you can't, because I am saved physically and spiritually. And any other way that the devil tries to come at me, I've already been healed. I've already been saved.
Amen.
Amen? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm out of time. I got more to go, but I'm out of time. We're going to take communion this morning. And this isn't going to be a typical communion. I'm going to actually do a little bit of teaching. You can go ahead and pass those out. But I'm going to teach you before we take it, because we're actually going to see that in salvation, in what Jesus did for us, we actually all also receive our physical healing. Romans chapter 5, if you can turn there, you can turn there. Romans chapter 5. In verse 12 it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Let me read that again. Some of you are too focused on your crackers and juice. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. Sickness is a symptom of death, ultimately. The more sickness that you get, the more likely that your symptoms will complete the cycle into death, right? So sin entered the world, and death through sin. Or I guess you could say it this way, sickness through sin. When sin came in, death and sickness, disease, poverty, destruction, all the bad stuff entered in. That's when it entered. Death entered the world through sin. Sickness entered the world through sin. So in order to defeat sickness, sin needed to be defeated, which is what Jesus did on the cross when he died for us and purchased sozo, right? So Jesus, that's why it says, by his stripes ye were healed, because when Jesus did that, he already, in the spirit realm, you already received your healing. He's already done it. You've already been healed. By his stripes ye were healed, because the thing that was causing the sickness is ultimately sin. Not necessarily that you've been going out and sinning all week long, but the fact that sin exists in this world and that we were born into this world and we were all partakers of that sin, when Jesus died for us, he actually freed us from that sin. He freed us from the penalty of sin, which one of those penalties is sickness. Now I want to show you something else. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read the last part of this verse. And we're almost done. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we're just going to read the last part of the verse in verse 7, because I'm going to tie it into communion. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Christ is our sacrifice. He was sacrificed for us, but he's our Passover. So what is the Passover? You guys remember Exodus chapter 12, the Passover, where the Jewish people, they were about to be led out of Israel. It was the final plague that was coming to the Egyptians. The death angel was coming to visit that night, and God, through Moses, he instructed them, get together and kill a lamb and take the blood of that lamb and put it on your door and cook the lamb and eat the lamb. And then tomorrow, after that death angel comes through, you're going to go on this journey, and I'm going to bring you out of Egypt and into the promised land. You remember that? That's when the Passover was actually instituted. And yet here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that Jesus Christ is our Passover. For indeed, Christ is our Passover. So in Exodus chapter 12, we see that when the Passover was instituted, a couple things happened. They were instructed that they needed to eat the lamb, which provided what for them? Physical strength for their journey. The Passover lamb provided them with physical sustenance or strength so that they could make that journey. And Jesus Christ is our Passover, which means that Jesus Christ, when he died for us, he provided us with physical strength. The second thing that we see happening on the Passover is that they had to kill that lamb and take the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorpost. Don't anyone go home and try it. You'll probably get arrested or something, or your neighbors will be freaked out. But what that did for them back then, a little bit of a different time period, what it did for them was it prevented that death angel from coming into their house. That angel swept through and he didn't discriminate whose house he went to. He went to every single house, and as long as there was nothing on the door, he went in and he killed the firstborn male of that family, including Pharaoh, his family. And it says, like, the next day there was so much mourning and crying, and, like, everyone was just, like, the Egyptians, they were so tormented that they were like, all right, just get out of here. Go, take your people, take your stuff, and get out of here. Here, take all our gold, take our treasure, whatever you want from us, just take it, and we just want you guys gone. You remember that story, right? So the second thing that the Passover did was protected them from death. Jesus Christ is our Passover. He's our salvation. Jesus Christ, when he died for us, he became our Passover lamb. He was our sacrifice, which means he provides us with physical strength, and it also means that he protects us from death coming to us. Another example of the Passover that we see, and this is representative of what Jesus did for us. The bread representing his body and the blood representing his blood. 750 years after the Passover was instituted, in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, there's a story about a king named Hezekiah, and the Israelites had eventually strayed from their relationship with God, and they weren't serving God the way they should, and like they didn't even have the temple all cleaned up, and they weren't doing any of the Levitical law that they had been trained and taught to do, and so their relationship with God had grown cold. And then there's this king named Hezekiah who actually, he's a godly man, and he gets the scrolls, he gets the word of God, and he realizes, man, the reason that our people that we're suffering is that we haven't been obeying the instructions of God, is that we've allowed sin to come in and we've not been serving God, and if we would get back to serving God, worshiping him in the temple, and if we would do what he's instructed us to do in these scrolls, well then everything that has been tormenting us will go away. And so they began to do it. And the more that they read in the book, in the scrolls, they realized that, well, we got to do this, and now they do this. And it comes to the point in 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 20 that when they had now done the Passover, they reinstituted the Passover, because one of the things that they had forgotten about was the fact that they needed to be doing this Passover. So they reinstitute it, and this is then what happens in 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 20, and it says, and the Lord listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. They reinstituted the Passover, and God healed all the people. I mean, that's pretty awesome right there. Who is Jesus? He's our Passover. When we go and we take this, this isn't just something like something to do to take up an extra 5 minutes in church that we, you know, hey, this isn't snack time. This isn't just, let's just have some juice and a cracker. This represents Jesus as our Passover. And now let's go all the way back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to tie this all together and see that Jesus Christ, through our as our Passover lamb, as the blood that was shed for us, that we can receive our physical healing even just from this today. So I'm not going to lay hands on you this morning if you need a healing, but you can receive your physical strength and miracle right from what we're going to do. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23, and now we're going to read the part where you're supposed to eat the cracker and drink the drink, but don't do it yet. All right, I'm going to come back to it. For in verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which was also delivered to you, that on that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup, the new covenant, is in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Not discerning the Lord's body. You see, this is it, when you guys get this, you'll see what I'm so excited about. You see, the Lord's body was what was beaten for us to provide us with physical healing. To beaten, and he took stripes on his back so that we could be healed. 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes we were healed. So it was his body. And look what it goes on to say. Verse 30, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That's the polite way of saying they're dead. For this reason, what reason? For not discerning the Lord's body, for not discerning the fact that he died for you and took those stripes on his back, and when he did that, he actually purchased your physical healing. See, some of us, we've been waiting so long to get healed, we've been waiting for the anointing to fall, we've been waiting for the prophet to come and give us the word, we want the apostle to lay his hands on us, we want so much stuff to be done, but if you would just discern the Lord's body and realize that what he did for you on Calvary is he bought your physical salvation as much as he bought your spiritual salvation, you can receive your miracle this morning when we take this. This is just representative of what he did for us. And he's saying right here, this is the reason, because some of you haven't been discerning what Jesus did for you. That's the reason a lot of you, or some of you, are sick and weak and died. But as we go to the Lord's table today and fully understanding that it was his body that was beaten and he took stripes on his back and he went to the cross and he got sozo for us, he got salvation for us, he didn't just get our spiritual salvation, but he got our physical salvation. Amen? So let's do this again, starting in verse 23, and we're going to take this together. And then we're all going to receive our physical strength, our physical healing, and whatever else it is that we need from the Lord. Amen? Verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for physical healing, for strength, for empowering, for a quickening in our mortal bodies. Whatever spirit of infirmity, whatever sickness, whatever disease, whatever has been tormenting the bodies of this church, our physical bodies, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. God, we know what you did. You sent your son Jesus to die for us on the cross. He took stripes on his back. He was beaten. He was bruised. So that he could purchase for us salvation in our physical bodies and in our spirit man. God, I thank you for our physical bodies receiving strength right now in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank you by faith. We thank you so much, Jesus, that you took those stripes on your back and that by your stripes we were healed. I thank you for it. I thank you for healing and strength coming directly from your Holy Spirit right now into our bodies in Jesus' name. And if you believe him, say thank you. Say it again. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say thank you, Jesus, for healing me.
Thank you, Jesus, for healing me.
Say thank you, Jesus, for strengthening me.
Thank you, Jesus, for strengthening.
Hallelujah. If you believe it, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. You see, we have a good God. We have a God that loves us, who wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be blessed. He doesn't want a bunch of sad, mopey Christians going around telling the world about how our symptoms have been kicking up this week, about how my rash has just been getting out of control. He doesn't want us having to go around talking about weird stuff, preparation H, whatever it is. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be strong. He wants you to be able to walk around without like having to, you know, shuffle, whatever. He wants you to be healthy.
Amen.
He wants you blessed.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.